Hello and welcome to Wild Time Online with myself, Thomas Janak. I'm joined by Sharon Valancic. And today we're talking about her book, Sweet Utopia. And it's definitely cruelty-free because it's all vegan recipes, but it's probably not guilt-free.
Not entirely.
Not entirely. Sharon, thanks for doing the interview. Tell us a bit about how did it come about for you to make this or write this, or I don't know if you just gather these recipes, or is it something that you had just lying around? How did this come about?
I'd always been interested in dessert. I'd always been baking and making dessert since I was 5 years old. And when I became a vegan, one of the biggest obstacles was dessert, because at that time, which was many years ago, I couldn't find any good vegan desserts, and that's a problem for me. So I started creating my own, and I wanted to make a collection, and I started creating all kinds of desserts, anything you could think of, a lot of desserts that were handed down from family generations, from my mother, my grandmother, etc., etc. Any dessert that I wanted to make sure I wouldn't miss out on, I created.
Okay.
And as more and more alternatives to dairy products and eggs became available, it became much easier for me to come up with these recipes. So I put together the book.
Okay. Because we have tried a couple of vegan cakes for birthdays and stuff, and they taste brilliant, but they don't look the same. So your husband is taking the pictures, took the pictures for your book, right?
Right. He made everything look pretty. Milan did, with his company, Milan Photography. That's another point, is that just because it's vegan doesn't mean it has to taste different. It doesn't have to taste funny. It could still taste amazingly delicious, and it could still be absolutely beautiful. So yeah, that was the goal of the book, to make the desserts so good you wouldn't even know that they were vegan if you're a non-vegan. They're good. The cakes rise. They're moist. They taste good. They look good. And that's the bottom line. I just wanted to make good desserts that happen to be vegan, and that would really appeal to non-vegans too.
On your book, on the front page, does it say it's a vegan book, or does it just say Sweet Utopia?
It's Sweet Utopia, and then the subtitle is Simply Stunning Vegan Desserts.
Okay, because sometimes I just think of course the so-called converted ones like myself would then go and buy it. I know you're working on another book now.
I'm working on lots of different things. I have a blog, and it's linked off of my website, sweetutopia.com, and I'm always working on different kinds of desserts. I don't just do dessert. I do different kinds of dessert. I do main courses. I do appetizers. I do really any kind of food that happens to be vegan, and I like to post some of those recipes. Some of them I'm holding for a future book. And I'll also be doing some cooking videos to show how to make these recipes. And one of the goals of my book, Sweet Utopia, was to show that you can make these cakes and they're really simple. And the ingredients aren't really too exotic, that they're really basic. You need a few ingredients to make a cake, and it's easy to do. So that's one of my goals, is always to make things easy. So anything that comes from me is going to be pretty straightforward.
But because I have what we call in Germany two left hands and 10 thumbs, so I'm not really that good. I think my problem is that I'm not really a patient guy.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not either usually. So
because that's part of the problem, isn't it? That a lot of people do not spend enough time anyway when it comes to sort of food. I mean, one of the problems that we always have when we talk to meat eaters a lot is because fast food is often meat-based, especially here in Ireland where we have very bad weather often. So it has always been a problem. So it's good if you can sort of come up with recipes that people can do even when they're tired, before they have to go out or next morning, or before they go to bed. The videos is quite interesting. Where will they be uploaded?
The videos, there'll be announcements through my website, through Twitter, through Facebook pages that I run for Sweetopia. I'm not sure exactly how it'll be delivered.
Okay. Because it automatically begs the question, if wherever you are. You're somewhere in New York City or something?
Yeah, I'm close to New York City.
Okay, so the idea would be probably in my mind, you know, probably at some stage you will have a shop where you sell that stuff, or is that something where you say, well, this would go too far, this is not what I want to do?
No, it might happen sometime in the future, not immediately, but perhaps later in the years.
Yeah. You were talking about difficulties that you had when you turned vegan. And, you know, people will see that when they have a look at the interview, how smashing you look. So I don't want to ask you how young you were when you turned vegan as such. But let's say in the last 10 years, it has probably definitely gotten easier with this things that you could use instead of dairy products. In the beginning, how difficult was it? Did you just basically had to sort of sweat it out and there was no dessert for you?
Right. No, I was able to drop everything except dessert really easily, and then I gradually dropped the desserts.
Okay.
And then when I started making the desserts, you know, I really started full on when Earth Balance came out. That was a really, really good vegan butter substitute. Made it a lot easier because the margarines that we used to use, they weren't so good.
And they're good for baking.
Yeah, the Earth Balance is really good for baking, that vegan butter. There are probably more. There's a lot, you know, good vegan cream cheese. There's really great tasting non-dairy milk. When I started drinking non-dairy milk, it tasted like chalk. Now they're really delicious.
Yeah, we've come a long way. I think the interesting thing is also to highlight that you know, the so-called quality of life. A lot of people say, like, you know, well, apparently, apart from what they say, you are what you eat. But a lot of people say, you know, after a hard day's work, you know, I worked hard for my chicken sandwich or my ham sandwich. You know how, whatever, you know, sometimes what people come up with sort of beats me. But your book clearly shows that you can go all the way, and you don't have to be an oddball or a nutcase for it. The important question that I really have is, like, how can people get hold of your book?
Okay, they can get a hold of it on Amazon.com, and that's international. They have it on all of the Amazon sites, even the non-English speaking ones.
Okay, because that link I will then provide on the Wild Time online page, so people
can. Okay, and my website is sweetutopia.com, so more information is available there, including a link to the blog. Where they can get more recipes and also find out how to get onto the Amazon page. Plus, you know, I always have updates on Facebook and Twitter, so
good.
People follow me and get more information.
Technology has come such a long way, so it's easy enough these days to put out a product and then to basically promote it through your own channels. Have you ever tried to have it published with a so-called, you know, regular publisher?
Oh, it was.
Oh, it was, okay.
Yeah, it was. It was published through a publisher.
The reason why I'm asking is, I mean, I know we're a couple of thousand miles apart, and I've been living in Ireland for 10 years, but because I have my animal rights show here and do many interviews with people from all over the globe, I have come to understand, unfortunately, that we're really way behind. I would actually think that if I were to do a recipe book here, a publisher probably would not touch it because they think there's not enough vegans around, and whatever vegans are in the first place, why would I do that? So it's great that you're so liberated.
Yeah, it was hard. It was really hard. You know, at first it was, oh, there's no market for a vegan dessert book. And now, you know, I did manage to get it published by a publisher that really believed in it. But now it's like there are too many vegan dessert books coming out. So it's hard to win in the publishing world, but I was able to, thanks, because I had an agent who was a great agent and, you know, publisher that was willing to do this and to do it right, to do it in color. You know, there's so many.
Yeah. I mean, the whole world, you know, the whole world is three-dimensional at least. I always say that. I mean, and the first thing that attracted me to your book was obviously the beautiful picture. So it's always good to have a husband
every page
that can take
every
pictures.
Has a picture. It's a beautiful book. You know, you'll be salivating over the desserts, and you'll want to make all of them because they all look really, really special and beautiful.
Yeah, it's also interesting. You know, I always think, like, I mean, that's sometimes the argument that people have when they go to a restaurant, because they say, like I said, you know, they work hard for their piece of meat. this kind of way. And I think what you are doing is that you highlight that, you know, the eyes are satisfied as well when you look at it.
It's a real reward. And, you know, I don't believe in just because I'm vegan, I don't believe that I have to deny myself of any kind of culinary pleasures. So this book is really, you know, a taste of the fine life for vegans.
Have you had a lot of media attention with the book, or is it this thing that sort of just gradually comes in?
Some. Yeah, not, you know, it's still building up. You know, I think it's going to be increasing because more attention is being put on this. But it is often on the top chart for baking books in general. So it's recognized as a baking book, not only as a vegan book, which I think is a really good sign.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my hope is always that, and people are waking up, you know, but my hope is, like, you know, rather yesterday than tomorrow.
Right, and the good thing about this book is that the desserts are all cholesterol free. You know, there's no cholesterol in these vegan products. And they're heart healthy, they're lactose free, and a lot of people have lactose intolerance. And there's a lot less saturated fat, so they are much healthier. You know, if you're going to indulge, it might as well be in a vegan dessert.
Absolutely. I mean, this is one of the things I'm really looking forward to. Very difficult, sort of, like I said, you know, so we finally have sort of a place where, here in Dublin, where you can get desserts that are mainly vegan.
Because, oh, really?
We only have, you know, we're really, like I said, you know, we're very much behind. We have a lot of vegans, but basically become a junk food vegan because, you know, we only have one vegetarian restaurant, so you can't eat everything that they have because it's not fully vegan. And the vegetarian sort of shops, there's something dairy often in their desserts. You know, so, but I'm, you know, fingers crossed we're getting there at some stage.
I'll have to come visit because I would love to check out the vegetarian and vegan scene in Ireland.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, you know, we're getting stronger as we speak, so to speak, you know, but it's a sort of, you know, we're basically a farming country. So,
right, I'd love to know how many of the vegan alternative products there are, because here in the United States, especially where I am close to New York, you can get all kinds of vegan cheeses and vegan meats, and they are just getting better and better. They are so good that they taste like almost like real chicken or real cheese.
Yeah, if you wanted to taste. I mean, we're kind of slow here, simply because, you know, I've been living here for 10 years almost, and it's probably only 5 years now that you can get more than just two sorts of bread. You know, that sort of different shops have opened because of the influx of us foreigners who demand different foods and bring foods from home. We have now more Polish shops, and, you know, so I think, you know, that all adds to the demand, because a lot of people in Europe, outside of Ireland, are usually more aware of veganism as such, because they had more choices, you know. So And still today, when I go to a restaurant, I have to sort of bring my own dairy-free margarine and stuff, you know, and the people say, that, Jesus, what's wrong with him? You know, but we're getting there, you know. It just takes that little bit longer.
And yeah, I believe everyone's going to get there. It just will take a while. We have to have a little patience, but we also have to push.
Oh yeah, you always have to push, you know, and that's what I do, you know, with a radio show like this. It's sometimes difficult for me, because when I say it, they say, like, go back to Germany if you don't like it here, you know. And I said, look, I've been living here for 10 years, you know, and if I don't want to ring someone in Germany to send me food, you know. I think, like, you know, everybody's entitled to eat or not eat what they want, you know.
Right.
So if I want vegan stuff, at least it should be there.
Right.
You know. I mean, the funny thing really is that your husband is a European as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's from Czech Republic, and it's interesting because recently in Prague, when I went, I saw so many different kinds of vegan shops and restaurants, a couple restaurants, and it was great. There was tons of vegan food in Prague.
Yeah.
So it's getting there, not really in the outskirts, you know, in the other parts of the country, but in the city, it was really there, and I think it's getting better.
I also think, like, you know, the more and more people sort of turn vegan, I think the shops that specialize in it, they might just have a mail order or something, so that they sort of send it, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about the upcoming book. What is this about? Is this more desserts?
You know, I don't have a specific project right now, but I want to do a book that is main courses and desserts, mm-hmm. and that is from around the world.
All right, okay.
So I really like to take the best of what I think is the best of the cuisine from around the world and to make it in a very tasty way, because I only like things that taste, you know, really, really well. They taste really good, and make them simple to create and fresh and delicious. So all different kinds of things, from drinks to appetizers to snacks to main courses to desserts to salads to soups, just what I feel is the best of the world, what the world's offering.
Yeah.
And veganized, of course.
Of course. Because I think it's also interesting and important to understand that, you know, sort of as human beings, I think we limit ourselves way too much to sort of where you from, what's your passport, you know, all this kind of stuff. I mean, the idea is we need to share everything that we have on the planet.
There's just so much in the way of world cuisines, and it's a joy to be able to bring that to people in a way that's really simple and approachable and easy and delicious. And you know, a little bit different. I like things that are not just mainstream. I like to bring different flavors in.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, apparently, here in Europe, you know, we have a completely different view on the Americans than you have in America, because the only thing we hear is what we hear in the media, or if we have relatives. So, in a lot of people's minds, you have these two versions of people in the States. I think it's absolutely not true, but anyway, you have these two versions of people. Ones are the ones that hang out in the gym all day and become actors, and the other one are these obese people. That are just worshipping McDonald's. Apparently there's so much in between. But is it difficult having sort of, you know, having a population that tends to be obese, or is it not that as bad as I think it is?
You know, there are so many different kinds of people around here. I don't really hang out with the people that are just into McDonald's.
Understandably.
More into living a healthy life, so I tend to be around those people more often. But, you know, you know, I'm not like one of the vegans that won't talk to anybody who's not vegan. So I do, you know, associate with people from all different walks of life. And the more they get to know me, the more they lean towards vegan or at least vegetarian foods.
Yeah, it also makes perfect sense, because, you know, if you hang around with your own kind, they will never understand it. You know?
I don't believe in that. I believe that we need to be friends with all different kinds of people. And that's the way that you can influence and affect change and help people's health, because that's a big, not only the animals, which is, you know, is such a main reason that so many vegans are vegan, but, you know, different arguments work with different people. And sometimes people do it for their health, and it works, and they become healthier.
Yeah, as long as they, I mean, a lot of people say, you know, that unless you do it for ethical reasons, you might not stay there. I remember when I turned vegan, because the foods that I ate are quite processed, I had cravings for quite a while.
Yeah.
How about you? I mean, you were saying that you could drop things quite easy, but probably you were never a big indulger like I was.
It was hard to drop pizza, I'll be honest with you. And I fought cravings for pizza for many years, and I fought them, especially when I was going to have my children. You know, when you're pregnant and you're craving pizza, it would have been very easy for me not to continue to be vegan, but I did it. But now I just feel like it's so easy now, because we have the best vegan cheeses and the best vegan meats, and there's really nothing that you can't get. So I don't have any craving for anything non-vegan anymore.
Yeah. I mean, they still have what they call fakin instead of bacon.
Yeah,
they have all that.
Bacon. Yeah, I mean, really everything. You know, I make the best vegan pizzas, so I don't have to crave pizza, because I can make it.
Yeah.
So,
would you agree, that was at least what happens to me. I mean, my taste buds changed so much that when I buy sort of meat-free burgers that have a sort of a meaty taste, I don't like them as much anymore.
Yeah, there's a few products that I can't eat because they taste too much like meat. But some of them I do like. I feel like they have a cleaner taste. Yeah, I think that taste buds definitely change.
Yeah.
And I could just imagine if I were to eat, you know, real cheese pizza now, I would feel so heavy. And I don't think I'd feel very good from that if I ever were to do that.
Yeah, it's also, you know, I think it will probably be, you know, the minute you taste it, you probably remember all the years of work, just sort of, you know, stay vegan, be vegan, and it feels good. I personally think it feels very good to know that no one gets harmed for what you eat.
Right,
but
yeah,
psychologically as well.
With a clear conscience.
Yeah, which I think, you know, is not a bad thing. People sort of, you know, often say to us, oh yeah, you want to be more pure, which is absolutely not true. I just think, like, you know, if you can make better choices, why not make them?
Exactly. It's not, for me, it's not really a sacrifice at all.
Yeah. I just wanted to say to our listeners, if you hear this little noise in the background, my window is open and the neighbor is mowing the lawn. So that's what you hear in the background. And I'm not sure if I can actually edit that out. So that's just a noise in the background. It's not that I'm on the motorway and somebody drives a car or something.
I can't hear it at all.
Oh, that's good. I'm just very aware of it because I'm recording, you know, so you're always aware of your surroundings. No, I'm just glad that the parrot doesn't scream.
Oh, your parrot, yeah.
I have a parrot and he gets very annoyed when I talk up here and he can't be here.
I have my loud dog outside because he likes to bark sometimes.
No, that's all good. So anyway, I will make sure that people get a link to the Amazon page, and then sweetutopia.com is your website.
Yeah.
So I just want to ask you this: of all the recipes that you have in the book, which one do you think is the most difficult to make?
Oh, the most difficult. I have one chapter that's called Luscious Treats, and that's, well, I have a chapter cookies, a chapter cakes, a chapter cheesecakes and pies, a chapter pudding and mousse, and then Luscious Treats. In Luscious Treats, there's some things that are not really, they're not easily categorized.
Okay.
So there's a couple things like candy or something like that. So probably one of those recipes that's a little bit different and unique that you won't find anywhere else.
Good.
Probably one of those recipes.
And what's your favorite one?
Oh, that's hard. That's so hard because I have so many. It just depends on the day. I really like my mint chocolate swirl cheesecake because my cheesecakes are really creamy and luscious. They're just so good.
Okay. I think in all reality, unfortunately, I mean, this is an audio interview, and I can't stress it enough how gorgeous you look. So you're not overweight or anything just because you indulge in your food. But in all reality, probably you don't eat it every day either. I mean, it's a dessert.
I try not to. I do eat chocolate most days, though.
Okay. So.
But I do. I exercise. So, yeah, no, yeah. I'm thin. I'm not overweight at all. And, you know, now I'm trying to definitely eat a lot less sugar.
Yeah.
So you'll see on my blog that I'm trying to put out more recipes that either have agave or they have stevia. So I try not to eat sugar all the time.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, two little kids, and, you know, I really watch their sugar intake as well. We don't eat a lot of fat. The fat we eat comes from nuts or olive oil. It's really healthy fat. It's really healthy food.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, I don't need to count calories or anything like that. You know, and exercise helps. You know, if you have muscles,
absolutely,
you not to have to worry about your weight so much. You have to keep active. So, but everyone's got a different body and a different metabolism.
Yeah, and I also think, like, you know, what I noticed is a big difference between Germany and Ireland in the sense that in Germany I found it much easier to lose weight because the climate would help. You would as hungry because it was warmer.
That's huge, yeah. In the winter, I tend to gain a few pounds, and then in the spring, I lose it.
Yeah. So I mean, now it's really gorgeous out there, but because we really don't have summer as such, and this is not an excuse, I've just noticed it is more difficult to get in shape. Because, you know, usually when the sun is shining, you just go out and say, like, oh, yeah, the sun is shining, yay, brilliant, you know? But we usually have to have some sort of a jacket on, you know? But anyway, the funny thing is that since I'm vegan, I've lost about 5 kilos, so it's not too bad.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's good, you know. And you know what really made the change? The big difference was going from vegetarian to vegan.
That is huge. You know, I agree, because when I was vegetarian for 25 years now. Okay. I was very young when I became vegetarian. I was a kid, and I was heavier because I ate a lot of cheese. I ate ice cream and cheese and pasta. and then becoming a vegan, I lost weight.
Yeah, I did an interview with Dr. Will Tuttle a while ago about his book, the World Peace Diet, and he said that there's something in cheese, I think it's called casein, which sort of makes it very difficult to sort of get weaned off cheese.
That's the protein in it.
So a lot of people get cravings when they're into cheese and then not have cheese, you know?
It's so hard, yeah. I think that was hard.
Yeah.
That was hard. But now we have the different kinds of cheeses that you can make pizza or nachos or all different kinds of food, that it's easier now.
I also think probably a good idea for everybody who starts changing their habits eating-wise is just to detox. You know,
that is great idea.
Yeah, because when you detox, then your body has less to deal with that could potentially make him grave, you know?
It's kind of like pushing the reset button on your body. You start fresh after you have a really good detox.
It's just getting through it.
Yes, it's not really fun, but once you do it, you know, you'll shrink your stomach, you won't need to eat as much at a time, and you'll want to eat, you know, pure foods, you'll want to eat more juices and more fruits and vegetables, which everybody should be eating more of anyway.
You get you become much more aware because you're doing something good for change, you know, to your body. I often say that to people. I'm an animal psychologist. You know, the radio stuff is my rock star life, as I call it. But I work a lot with animals, and I work a lot with heavy dogs. And I say, in the wild, they wouldn't eat every day. So having them off food twice a month, just make sure they have enough water, is not a bad thing. And in all fairness, we should all do the same.
Yes, I don't think my dogs would like if I did that to them, but...
they never like it, but what happens a lot is because they wouldn't eat every day in the wild, they become so alert after just a day of water, and then the next day they get a little bit less food, so it's not that you starve them or anything.
Right, but and it, they appreciate it,
especially when they turn older, you know? When the metabolism slows down, it makes a big difference.
That's an idea, yeah.
Obviously, you know, when they roll their beautiful brown eyes at you, it's very difficult to do this. But, you know, but sometimes, you know, this is what they say, you have to be cruel to be kind.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So don't have dessert every day, and then you'll really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure talking to you, and also so nice seeing you, because, you know, when you only know people sort of from their little avatars on Facebook, it's always nice to sort of, you know, see to whom I talk to. Really nice. We will make sure that we mention sweetutopia.com and amazon.com and people can get the book.
Great. And anywhere else books are sold.
Yeah.
Online.
Perfect. So thank you so much. Give my regards to your husband. And I actually checked the paintings on your page. Very beautiful.
Oh, okay.
So tell them that. I mean, obviously, I like the one with the naked chick the most, you know. But that's just a bloke thing. But anyway, very well done.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Talk soon then. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye, Thomas.